What is up, Moncton? Welcome to the final regular season episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. I hope you enjoy. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. As always, I am your host, Adam Lund, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
Hello, gentlemen.
Salut.
Computers and air conditioners have in common?
What?
No idea.
They both become useless once you open Windows.
Oh! Wow, that was awesome. That was a clever joke.
Nice.
I liked it.
The other voice you hear there is my other co-host, Mr. Chris Dobson.
Today's fun fact, I dug deep for this one, boys. Did you know that bananas are curved because they grow toward the sun? No? So,
no.
It's because they go through a process called negative geotropism. Instead of growing towards the ground, they start growing toward the sun. The fruit grows against gravity, which gives the banana a familiar curved shape. Riddle me this, Batman.
It's also the 30th anniversary of the World Wide Web being introduced.
Al Gore. He invented the internet. That's awesome. Oh, I hear that and I just cringe. Like, why'd you answer the phone? I was trying to connect to the internet.
That's crazy to think that.
Like nails on a chalkboard.
Oh my goodness. I remember you'd have to disable call waiting just to get online. AOL.
I didn't have a computer in my house.
You've got mail.
I had to go over to my friend's house to use ICQ and use internet and all that good
stuff. I could do like MIRC. Mm. Yeah, back in the hardcore, like chat days. That's where the hackers hung out, was IRC.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Wasn't much of a hacker.
No.
No.
Did you guys ever create a MySpace page?
No, I didn't.
No, never got to MySpace. I thought that was only for musicians.
Did you?
Of course I had a MySpace page. I had a MySpace page. What was the other one called? High Five. I had a High Five page. Yeah. I'm old as shit, guys. It's just, anyways.
Did you use LimeWire?
Of course I did. My computer had more AIDS than you could possibly imagine. LimeWire, the STD of downloading software.
Napster. Napster's another question.
I'll let Napster slide because Justin Timberlake played Sean Parker in the Facebook movie.
It's a good movie.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Aaron Sorkin, great writer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so
We're doing a hockey podcast.
No, let's do it.
I blacked out. What happened?
Final week of the season here already. We talked about Black Aces coming onto the team. Just they don't really play; they just kind of practice. Do you have an idea of how many we're gonna have? Who we're gonna have? What the standard is for calling them up?
Fire will make a boiled.
I'd like a boiled prediction.
I would like a boiled icing cake from the Salisbury Irving Big Stop.
Oh, homemade chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah, boiled frosting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Been there.
If I were to venture a guess here, I'd probably say Jeremy Hebert, just because Miramichi failed to make the Maritime Hockey League playoffs. That's probably my only name that I can come across right now. It all depends on how the midget playoffs in Quebec, whenever they end, because they have that stupid Dodge Cup where eliminated teams get another chance to win a trophy.
I'm sorry, what?
The really? Dodge Cup where eliminated
the
teams
Dodge Cup.
Get to win have a chance to win another trophy.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Dodge Cup.
Oh.
Only in Quebec, ladies and gentlemen. You lose, but here's your second chance.
Huh.
And of course, for those wondering, Jeremy Hebert, of course, acquired from the Moncton Wildcats by the Bacolm Drakkar.
The pride of Irishtown, New Brunswick.
I think it's great. Remembering a hometown boy, let him play a couple rounds in the old Avenir Center. I like it. I
hope so.
Love it. Be a nice addition. Can't be, you know, although they are playing really well right now. Very well.
The other quick question. So last week, you pointed out, Jeremy, on our little Facebook chat that I made a mistake with my award show question for you guys. I use the unsung hero, but I use the most improved player names. So
I was, so we left here last week.
Yeah.
And I can honestly tell you, I was still confused. I was thinking about that and I'm like, I don't understand most improved. It doesn't make sense to me. It does. I was like, How can you consider this guy most improved? They've been here half the season. Like, it didn't. Again, still rooting for Brady Pataki in a column that he's not nominated in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm still rooting for you, Brady. Well,
okay, so he is not. So last week, the names I used, DeJong, Pataki, and Spence, are unsung heroes. Who would you pick for that?
Spence.
Unsung hero?
I think. I mean, I like Pataki a lot.
I would probably go Pataki because he's played up and down the lineup and made so many things.
Which is the same reason I gave him to be most improved player. But I think unsung hero, anytime you ask a 17-year-old kid to step into a full-time role in the QMJHL and he does it just flawlessly, it's not an easy role to fill. Being 17 in this league is not easy anyway, but coming on as a defenseman in this league, it's a challenge. And he stepped to the plate. He's my guy.
I'll go DeJong just on the basis that he came in as a relatively unknown. Jordan. Everybody knew Jordan Spence's name.
Came in halfway through camp too. I mean,
like, everybody knew Jordan Spence's name because he was a high draft pick.
Right.
The season he had last year in Summerside. Everybody knew Brady Pataki from last year. DeJong has just come in. He's played top 6 minutes. You hardly notice him, which is a good thing because you rarely see him make mistakes. He's been an excellent free agent find, and I see him being a big part of the decor next year.
Absolutely. I think if you look at how our decor is progressing, I think he slides into the top four, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So most improved players, actually DeJong, Denoyer, or Spence.
Which, again, is so bizarre to me that you can even classify this as most improved. I think it's foolish.
Most improved is Jacob Hudson.
Without a question. Yeah. Not even debatable.
Country mile.
Mic drop moment.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. But seeing how he's not nominated for that, who were they again?
DeJong, Denoyer, and Spence.
That's most improved?
Yeah.
Then I'd go DeJong. From the start of the season to where he finished the season. And I think that had to do a little bit with him holding the stick a little too tight. But again, like you said, Jeremy plays his role very well. Wasn't expecting a lot of big things from him this year because we had a relatively young blue line, essentially. Mm-hmm. I find since just right before Christmas, he has started playing some fantastic hockey, and he has been a very big staple for Moncton on the blue line from there on out, going into hopefully this deep postseason run.
I think that was the one category where I picked all three names just because I couldn't choose one.
Yeah, and you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd probably go Denoyer. Just he started in the bottom six, not any fault of his own, played for Team Canada, and now he's worked into a top six role and hasn't really looked out of place. He's been playing fairly well down the stretch here.
Oh, so, for sure. I mean, it helps that he's got the line mates he's got.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you.
To finish the award show, because it's on Monday, outstanding defensive player, Sylvestre, Aspro, LeClaire.
Don't think this is really a competition. Like, it's
go ahead.
I mean, I have to go to Claire. He's like, I'd call him the MVP of the team.
Francis LeClaire?
Absolutely.
I've got to disagree with you.
Wow.
We were having this conversation. No, and
we had it 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had a conversation here, but we also had that conversation. I was having this conversation at the rink the other day, and if you're thinking like MVP type guys. Did Francis LeClaire have a better year than Mark Grammett-Bauer had last year? The team in front of Francis LeClaire this year is, in my opinion, better than the team that was in front of Grammett-Bauer last year.
You're right.
So if I'm looking at those three names, or not even names, you were just asking who I think the MVP of this team is. I'm not going to, I would have to go, and I don't want to be that standard guy, I would have to go with Jeremy McKenna.
Mm-hmm.
From an MVP perspective.
Right.
Now, you were talking about Defensive Player of the Year, is that what you said?
Outstanding Defensive Player of the Year.
I've got to go with Sylvestre. I really liked, and again, this stems back to before Christmas. To me, I've enjoyed watching him play his roles. He's getting better, of course. Congrats to you, Gabe. I mean, I know you played your 300th game over the weekend. Didn't play off the entire game, but... I thought
he was going to get in a fight in his 300th game, but...
There was a lot of things floating around, and I believe he was just put out for precautionary reasons in that game. I don't think he's hurt. I can't confirm. I don't know. This is just a rumor. Right. I have no idea. I could be completely wrong. But from a defensive perspective, I truly like what... Since Torchetti's come along too as well, he's really helped progress his game along to a point where he's a very solid staple for me on the blue line right now.
The only award we haven't talked about is Rookie of the Year, but that one's a foregone conclusion to Spence, right? Nothing against DeJong and Dunwoye, but
I
already said what...
I would think Jordan Spence should win that. I would think.
It's pretty well written in stone. I think they can
right.
engrave the trophy already.
Right.
Fans' choice, Charles-Antoine Lavallois. Anybody?
Crickets?
Anybody?
Crickets?
All right, so
Bueller. Bueller.
Week that was 36, 24, and 5 for 81 points. Made a small jump, third in the Maritime, fifth in the Eastern Conference, which means a first-round matchup with the Islanders, which I don't want any part of. So Wednesday, 4-3 shootout loss to the Eagles. We talked about this. Chris said, you said it last week, the Eagles were going to come hard. It was not going to be what it was in that 10-3 game. Mandaliz was great. Just your guys' thoughts on that one.
Hard to win a game when you only get, what, 3 shots in the first period?
Foolish.
Something like that, yeah.
Foolish.
And then, but after the first period, they came on strong. Like, I mean, I think they more than doubled their shots in the second period and did the same in the third. But, oh, man, that first period was god-awful.
So, let me read the numbers off to you. First period, Cape Breton outshoots Moncton 15-3.
Mm-hmm.
Second period, Cape Breton outshoots Moncton 12-8. Third period, Moncton crushes Cape Breton 14-2 in the shot department. Overtime, 3-1 Moncton.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. So from halfway through the second period into overtime, Moncton outplayed Cape Breton.
Yeah, but it was that first period that just killed them. They had nothing going. Like, you think, like, was it that game where they had the 2-on-0?
Didn't even register a shot.
And Havanoff had a
didn't even register a shot.
Yeah. I mean,
and at that point,
you can't let that happen. That was, I mean, you know, you're sitting at the other end of the ice, and you're almost assuming it's going to be a goal, but then they just pass it. They pass it around one too many passes, I think, in my opinion.
Everyone's opinion.
Everyone was trying to make that pretty pay, pretty play.
Sorry to cut you up. I think that's why they don't play as well at home. Like, that play in a nutshell was why they don't play well at home. They try to play too pretty. They're not just going to the net. And it maybe it's trying to impress the fans in the brand new building, but that play there signified why they don't play it well at home.
But hey, let's chalk it up to the fact that they're at least scoring a regular strength goal on home ice for the first time in 3 games on that game.
That's true.
I mean,
that was a good monkey to get off the back.
So then we had Saturday, 3-2 win over the Mooseheads. For my money, that was best game of the year. Crowd was into it, and surprise, surprise, the team fed off that. Chris, you were down in the ice level bar.
I was.
Yeah. How was that? I've never been down there.
So it was really neat. So I got to take our good buddy from Rogers, Jerry Green. He wanted to come to town to see this game. He had never in this building has seen a game from outside of the broadcast booth. So he's like, I want to go someplace. I want to grab a seat. Seats were limited, by the way, tough to find. So I said, why don't we just go down to the ice bar? And he says, okay. So we went down there, and the atmosphere was so electric. It was crazy. It was the busiest the ice bar has ever been since they've opened. They were turning people away. They were at capacity. It was crazy. So the cool thing is I was talking to someone within the Wildcats organization, and they were saying that every time Halifax comes to town, beer sales go up 15%. It's a statistic number. It's 15% whenever the Moosehead come to town. So we were joking around, and he's like, see if you boys can't knock it up to 20, tapped me and Jerry on the shoulder, and away we went. And so Jerry said himself, he says, this is the greatest thing I've ever been a part of. He's like, it was so loud down here. He's like, and to see the electricity, to see how many fans were screaming. You're right, Adam. It was just like a playoff game. It was the most electric game that we've seen at the Avenir Center all year. Oh, man, it was crazy. It was crazy.
It was almost like a reverse of Wednesday against Cape Breton. Like, first period, Moncton dominated.
Right.
And then the second and third period, it was all Halifax. Like, second period, Moncton only registered 6 shots. Third period, they only registered 3.
Right.
So it was like a complete reverse of the game against Cape Breton. But hey, the defense tightened up, and you know, LeClaire stood on his head, and I hated the fact I wasn't there, seeing how everybody was saying it was, you know, the loudest they've ever seen in the building. But that's, I mean, you always get that kind of atmosphere when Halifax is in town. you know, you get their fans love coming to Moncton for games, and the, you know, they're loud, and it was nice to finally see, you know, the Moncton fans kind of competing, you know, keeping up with the Mooseheads fans in terms of you know, the noise level.
It was, you know, after that first period, you know, we didn't see the Halifax team that we've been accustomed to seeing all year long. So Moncton played them very well. In regards to the second and the third period, I joked around with a lot of people saying, you know, this was arguably one of the best 60-minute games I've seen Moncton play all year. Normally, I don't let six shots or three shots a period, you know, get through that. But you had to know you were up against a very tough opponent, the Halifax Mooseheads, and they weren't going to lay an egg periods two and three because of what happened. And they showed exactly why they can score the way they do. But you're right. Defensively, they locked down. They got in front of Francis LeClaire, and they said, buddy, we got you. This one's for you, bud. And it was amazing. It was crazy.
We've seen Pelche so many times, but that had to be one of his best games.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. In a Wildcats jersey. Like, that just... And it almost seemed as if... Because when Raph Lavoie left the game early in the first period, you had a sense that, like, Pelche just took over the game. Because, you know, the scouts were there, and he just stepped it up. He wanted to be the star of the show in that game. And he did. Like I said, it was probably the best game I've ever seen him play. And he's had a lot of very good games in a Wildcats uniform. Holy moly. Just all over the ice.
Holy moly.
All over the ice.
He's in on every forecheck, yeah. It seems like.
Yeah.
He loves going, like when they go around him, he loves going that other way, poking the stick up and stealing it back and making that tight turn. Mm-hmm. He loves that move.
Mm-hmm.
So then Sunday came, not as crowd friendly, in a 10-1 victory for the Wildcats over the Titan. But look, they set a record with four shorthanded goals in one period.
Ridiculous.
for this team. Almost had a chance to tie the record with Victoriaville. And then first goal in the queue for Sean Stewart.
Top shelf.
Yeah, he'll tell the grandkids, end to end, top shelf.
Yeah.
Just one of those bouncing to it, and I think he caught Grandma Bauer by surprise.
Well, it's just he turned and fired. He made full contact with
Fired 100 miles an hour.
No, we just turned, and I meant fired his stick, and it just happened to make contact with that bouncing puck. I'll tell you why I feel bad for Sean Stewart in that situation. And that's because the game was so out of hand.
You don't want to celebrate.
He can't celebrate. Yeah. And kudos to him, man. And that says a lot about his character. Mm-hmm. Because if I had scored my first goal in the queue, I would have did exactly what Nail Yakupov did when he scored in his rookie year on that overtime goal in the regular season when he went head first down the ice.
Whether it was 1-0 or 9-1.
Doesn't matter. You're right. But at the same time, kudos to him. And, you know, congratulations goes out to him. It's always exciting to get that first goal. Hey, you never know. That's the first goal scored going into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a key guy for us here.
I got to say about Sean Stewart, though, I like him as a forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, Adam, you might not know this, but Aspro was drafted as a forward.
Correct.
Yeah, you guys have said that before.
Yeah.
And
which you can see now, he's always joining the rush. You can see how he was drafted.
And I'm just thinking, I'm like, is this a hybrid situation?
Somebody saw something there.
Is this a hybrid situation where you're going to flip Stewart into a forward position, take him off the D side? I mean, it works.
There was a couple times in the Wednesday game that fourth line with Jaguar and two Stewarts was the best line on the ice.
Without
hemming
question.
Hemming the Eagles in, and it cost them a penalty once because they hemmed him in. Mm-hmm. They put it over the glass, and like it was... Yeah, I like that fourth line.
No, I did too. I thought the fourth lines looked really good. And you're right, Jeremy. I mean, Sean Stewart as a forward does not look out of place to me.
And there was a moment in that Halifax game too when Sean Stewart let a wrist shot go. It beat Gravel, but it went off the crossbar.
Yeah.
But it literally looked like that shot was going 100 miles an hour off his stick. Like, that is... He's got a very... If that's how he shoots, and he gets it off sometimes, but not very often, just because of the type of player he is. But if he can shoot like that, and they move him to a forward spot, he might put up some goals here, you know, in the next couple of years.
So, in regards to your thoughts on the game, I want to look at the bigger story that we seem to make it a bigger story than the actual game itself. And that is, and I retweeted it, as soon as you put the starting lineup out, I had to reply with, why is Leclerc getting the start? I understand there's a home ice challenge in the way right now. I know they're trying to win every game humanly possible. That's the reason.
No,
that's
I know
what they're going
to
give you.
Like I said to you guys, after the loss to Cape Breton, we couldn't get that because we lost the season series to them now. So why wasn't he? Like, keep going.
My theory is it's – I think, Lavallée goes on in, beats Rimouski in Rimouski.
Tough task for any goalie.
Absolutely. And he,
especially on a three-on-three.
And he gets that job done. Then he comes home and he's back on the bench again at home. Yeah. I mean, maybe they know something we don't, guys. I just know that with a few games left, Wednesday's game to me will be, again, Halifax is sitting most of their guys who are on day-to-day injuries, which we called. We said that was going to happen, which is a smart move for them. They've got a late run to play. So, I mean, kudos to them. That game against Halifax on Wednesday will determine what happens with goaltending on the weekend. If Moncton doesn't beat Halifax on Wednesday,
they can't get fourth.
No, they can't.
They'll be 4 points behind, but they won't be able. Even if they tie with,
and that means yeah. Well, and if they do, that means Charlottetown has to lose, right?
Yeah. No. Even if if we lose,
because it goes to goals four.
Oh, it doesn't go by wins.
If it's a tie break that way, but then it goes to goals four, and Moncton's 20 goal effort in the last week has really pumped them up in a goals four department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they still hold the edge there.
But the first tiebreaker is the wins, right?
It's the record. Yeah.
Yeah. So even if we lose, we'll have 36 wins. I don't see the Islanders losing to Bathurst that night.
This is how it needs to play out. If we're talking home ice advantage,
right?
This is what needs to happen. Moncton needs to win out. Yeah, they need to win out. They need to win against Halifax. They need to win against Charlottetown, and they need to win against St. John. The Halifax and St. John games can be any sort of win, regulation, OT, shootout, anything. 2 points, that's what you need.
Charlottetown has to be regulation.
Has to be regulation against Charlottetown.
Yeah.
Right? If we can get a win against Halifax and a win against Charlottetown, Saturday's a big day, excuse me, because we got St. John, and I think Charlottetown plays Halifax.
Right.
On Sportsnet.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Saturday show.
You pick up those two wins, and then you have somewhat of an easy opponent. I don't want to down talk St. John because
they're going to be fighting for that final playoff spot.
Exactly. They need one, like it's down to 1 point between them and Schwinnigan. So they're going to be fighting for that last spot.
And remember, every game Saturday in the league is at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, so really?
Every game.
If Moncton picks up two wins, if they win against Halifax and Charlottetown, there's definitely going to be some scoreboard watching.
Absolutely. Like
that's because you look at it this way. Charlottetown has Bathurst, Moncton, and Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Breton, St. John, and Bathurst twice.
That's 6 points.
St. John is, as you know, they've played Cape Breton hard all season. I think they might have got a couple wins against them, but I'm pretty confident that's going to be 6 points for Cape Breton. So that's why Moncton needs to win the last three games. Like, that's...
And I don't think, I honestly don't think there's a scenario, because last week we were talking about it, out of the last, what did I say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we had 5 games, what did I say they were going to go? 3-1-1?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, so we've gotten the end one, we got the three, because we lost that Cape Breton game in overtime, so there's the end one, which I think I said was going to happen.
Yeah, you said the Halifax game was going to be an end.
The end one, okay.
Yeah.
Which I still thought it was going to be. I like it. Guys, I like it. I think Moncton has the ability to win out. You are right. That game in Charlottetown is a huge game for them Friday night, too. So you better believe everybody's playing Friday night in Charlottetown.
Mm-hmm.
And Halifax has something to play for, too, because they're 1 point behind Baie-Comeau.
Yeah.
Like the only spot in the Eastern Conference that is locked down is Rimouski and probably Quebec. Like, Chicoutimi's 2 points behind us. Like, everything is...
I'm not going to count everything on Chicoutimi.
Is up for right. grabs.
Look, if Chicoutimi's... They're going to have a tough game tomorrow night against Drummondville. And they're going to play Schwinnigan, and then they're going to play Quebec. So, I see them beating Schwinnigan. I see them beating Quebec. Patrick Waugh has already said that he's resting all of his veterans for the rest of the season to ensure they're already ready. They're ready for the playoffs. I'm not counting out if it ends up, and I know we'll probably do a playoff prediction next week on the show. Heads up here, if it's Chicoutimi against Halifax, I'm going for the upset.
Yeah, I already said they'd be a tougher out than people think. Yeah. And the Herdcast guys talked about Chicoutimi won't be much. But there's so if it's winning all three, that means LeClaire's playing all three then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if they lose against Halifax, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Then it's wide open. You can
if,
start.
If LeClaire, if they lose, yeah, if they lose Wednesday, let Lavallée finish the season.
Yep.
Let him. I mean, you know, at that point, you know where you're sitting. You know where you're know.
Fifth or sixth, it doesn't matter.
That's it. Doesn't matter. You don't have home ice advantage. Get your starting goaltender a break.
Yep, exactly. There's no absolutely, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, no reason why Charles Antoine Lavallée should not be starting with a loss either tomorrow night or against Charlottetown. There's if it comes down to Saturday and they've won those two games, obviously LeClaire is going to start. He'll have a full week off before the playoffs start.
LeClaire will play tomorrow night in Halifax.
Yeah.
And absolutely. He should. And he absolutely should. If you get this win tomorrow night, you're right. He starts in Charlottetown.
If they win in Charlottetown, he starts on Saturday against St. John.
You got it. Because you got to win out. You ride your guy.
Yeah.
But we've been wrong all season, folks.
So for all we know, Lavallée could start all three games. Lavallée
start tomorrow night in Halifax. You heard it here first.
Yeah. So I just going back to Sunday's game, I told her I was going to call her out. So we took Layla's aunt, two aunts to the game. They'd never been to a game before, right? So she's explaining everything on the LeClaire situation because Layla can't figure it out either. She doesn't know why he's not playing, why Lavallée's not playing kind of thing. So this lady's asking her, and she's explaining, you know, like, you want to have your 20-year-old, blah, blah, blah. And it was, I think, 6-0 at that point. She's like, well, why don't they just put the 16-year-old in now? She's like, well, they can. I mean, he's already got a shutout. And she stopped instantly. I'm like,
Yeah. Did
you just... So for LeClaire and everyone out there, the reason that the Bathurst got one goal was my wife said shutout at 6-0. And I told her I was going to call her out on that.
That's all.
You are right, although I will give pure kudos to Anderson McDonald for scoring. It was a beautiful goal over, like, great feed to get it to him, and he had a sprawling LeClaire going cross crease. It was
I forgot how big Kingsbury Fournier's name is on.
Yeah, it's like, huge. Huge.
It was like that on ours, and then huge. In Quebec, it was just K. Fournier, so it kind of fit.
Right.
But then Bathurst, it was good to see.
It's probably because that's how he wanted it.
Yeah, it was good to see Grandbauer one last time.
Yeah.
Tough situation.
For sure. I mean, what do you do? I mean, good for him. He did play well. But yeah, no, it went exactly how I anticipated it was going to go. I didn't know if Moncton was going to put up another 10 spot, but either way, you got to be pleased with how it works. And you know, go back to that article when Torchetti said, give him 20 games. Well, we're here. And if you look at the record over the last 12, 14 games, mm-hmm. What are they, like 9-2, 1-2?
They're coming on.
11-6, 2-3.
Yeah, they're coming on.
11-6 and yeah, something
still
like that.
Still some work to do.
It's, for sure.
It's crazy when you look at the Eastern Conference. Like, we've been winning a few games and moving up in the standings, and everything's staying pretty tight. In the last 10 for every team, the only team that's under 500 is Cape Breton. Baie-Comeau's 8-1. Halifax is 7-3. Rimouski's 6-3, but they're not moving. Charlottetown's 8-2. We're 6-2-1. Cape Breton's 4-5. Chicoutimi's 8-2. Like, even though we're getting the W's, the teams that we are chasing or trying to get away from are getting the W's as well. Like, there's
Shawinigan sitting at 0-10 though. 0-10.
Is St. John gonna make it?
Oh man, like I haven't looked at what Shawinigan's schedule is like, but I'm assuming it's probably
here. I'll pull it up. I'll tell you right now.
Against contending teams.
Like, we all wrote St. John off early in the year, as we should have. They had half their team is 16-year-olds, but they've been pretty impressive in the second half.
So Shawinigan's got Sherbrooke on the 13th. They've got Chicoutimi on the 15th. And they've got Victo on the 16th.
They're screwed.
It'll be chance. Now, what's St. John's schedule look like?
Let's take a look. Cape Breton.
They clearly got Moncton.
And
Cape Breton.
Charlottetown?
They have two against
They've Cape got Cape Breton, Halifax, Moncton.
Yeah.
So
And 1 point.
I like them in that Halifax game. I like St. John there because, again, Halifax will be resting some kids.
Yeah,
it'll still be a tough win for them.
We assume they will be because they're trying to chase.
No, the article's come out. Everybody's injured.
Oh yeah,
like, injured Morin, Lavlo,
like, Trepanier, Stewart. They're all
everyone's injured.
Oh okay,
right. And if they are, get better, because I don't want to hear a story where we have to play Halifax and then we somehow upset them. Our guys were hurt. So if they are hurt, get better. That's right, Jordan Stroh. Although let's full disclosure, I'm not confident we could beat Halifax in a best of seven. I'm not saying that. I think we'd give them a run for their money.
Yeah, we'd give them a run. Series than most people.
But yeah, no, overall, I mean, St. John's right there, man. They're 1 point behind them. Mm-hmm. St. John's right there. I would love to see him squeak in. It'd be great for the Rogers TV business, I can tell you that. That's a selfish, selfish plugs.
Out in four straight.
We'd only broadcast two.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
a selfish yeah. plug either way.
But we also got our fingers crossed for Blainville down the stretch here.
Right.
Just looking
at the inverse standings here.
Just so St. John doesn't end up with a lottery pick, because you know damn well if St. John gets a lottery pick, they're gonna win the lottery.
So Bathurst is
it? It's true.
It's true. Damn true. It doesn't matter how many balls they have in the thingamajigger. St. John.
So Blainville's got Gatineau, Valdor, and Rouyn Noranda.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Gatineau's going to be without Gabriel Bilodeau for the rest of the season.
Right.
That's a huge loss for them. Valdor is a winnable game. They're going to get
after Rouyn pumped. The last game of the season. Any chance for Rouyn sitting anybody?
Oh, I think so.
I would hope so.
Like I would.
Yeah. They only lost two games at home, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
But at the end of the day,
let's go Armada. Let's go.
Go.
I think Drummondville would sit some too, right? Because they can't really catch him.
Who's playing Drummondville though?
Well, no, they were just.
Oh, this is general resting conversation. Okay, yeah, perfect.
Like I wouldn't think Bacomo would they?
Como?
You never know, man. It's the last game of the season. You never know.
It's the last week. And it's nice that...
And outside of...
Everyone is...
This conference.
Grouped in together.
Right. Outside of this conference, really doesn't matter. Like, from a standings perspective. I mean, other than the very bottom. Yeah. Anyways.
But we all know that the only different... It's kind of good that the top two in the Western Conference will come over.
Right.
And they reseed them in the third round, because... That Rouyn Noranda Drummondville deserves to be a final. It does not deserve to be.
Yeah,
and I was the guy that didn't like that idea, but now it doesn't deserve to be a Western Conference final. It deserves to be a Q final.
Yeah, I want that.
And Halifax waiting to see who they're going to play in the Memorial Cup, because they're not getting there.
You can't say that for sure, man. It's possible.
That they go to the Q as the host and the champ? Or the Memory Cup as the Q champ?
Weirder things have happened, dude. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
I put it on tape that Halifax will not win the President's Cup.
I don't think they will, but to sit here so adamant and say they won't, I think that's aggressive. They're a hell of a hockey team, man.
They are, but...
Anyways, doesn't matter. Nobody's beating Rouyn a seven-game series. Doesn't matter who it is. Zero person. Zero. Zero. Put that on tape. Zero.
Zero.
No one's beating
Sam Mitchell, head coach of the Raptors. 0-0-0-0-0-0. All right,
well, if you're putting it on tape, Halifax will not win the President's Cup. I'll put that on tape.
They can't. I just said Rouyn's going to win it. Well,
then I can put it on tape.
You're just crap-talking Halifax because you can.
No. Kind of.
Go Blainville!
All right. Mr. Dobson, your cat of the week.
Oh, so I'm going to go. I've got two of them. First one, obviously, of course... Sean Stewart, you got to give the kids some love. Congratulations. I've said it before, said it earlier in the show, buddy. Congratulations on your first QMJHL career goal. Love to see it. Almost had two that game, like you mentioned, Jeremy. Would have been sick to see. So he gets the honorable first cat of the week. Second one has to go out to our big net minder, Francis LeClaire. He did go 2-0-1 with a goals against of a 1.93 and a save percentage of .927. You got to be happy with him. I mean, Frank's played unreal.
Frank the Tank.
And I know that, you know, I can only imagine maybe he's thriving on this right now. Maybe, you know, he wants this and he's the one telling Torchetti, I want these games. I want to play. This is for me. I want to do it. So, again, I'm going to give him all the love and the respect in the world. Congratulations, Frank. You are this week's Smoked a Wildcat of the Week.
Nice. Next week, you're going to have a Cat of the Year.
Ooh.
Clearly, it's Jeremy Boucher.
I want to have a Stick Tap of the Year.
All right, fans know they love it. What's your Stick Tap of the Week, Mr. Boucher?
So this should come as no surprise. Once again, food related. So here's a situation. I forgot my lunch on Monday. So of course I couldn't skip out on my meal because you know my shredded body would take the fall. So I decided to go to Gusto on Westmoreland.
Beautiful. Okay. My favorite restaurant in town.
But of course, I didn't order off their menu. Just decided to get myself a piece of cheesecake.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Let me tell you about their Cadbury cream egg cheesecake.
Oh, delightful.
It is an orgasm in your mouth. I don't think I've had a better dessert in my entire life. The best $10 you will ever spend.
How big was your slice?
Oh, man, it's like, big. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's got some good, in the words of Craig Eagles here, some good triangulation. A piece of cheesecake. And of course, you know, just like my Twitter profile says, don't talk sugar about cheesecake.
It's true. It makes me laugh every time I look at it.
Yeah.
I have had this cheesecake you're speaking of. I love Gusto.
It's so good.
The chicken parma Gusto is one of the best things in the world. With a nice glass of trapiche. Yeah, big red wine.
So that's all you had was just cheesecake lunch?
Big mother effing piece of cheesecake.
Lunch 101 there.
And folks, I am still on my diet, in case you're wondering that I mentioned a few weeks ago. I am still on my diet.
Cheesecake for lunch is on that, eh?
Well.
You look good, though, bud.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
This was like 7 o'clock at night. So, because of my lunch, because I work nights.
Yeah.
I call my supper lunch, because it's called lunch.
Lupper.
When it's lunch. Right. It's lunch, but it's supper, because I get it. Nights, yeah, so it's lupper, right?
Yeah, dude, I'm picking up.
So, yeah, man, get yourself a piece of this cheesecake. It's phenomenal. But of course, if you don't like Easter, then it's going to suck for you.
I'm going to have to try that because I love the Cadbury cream egg. I enjoy the actual egg, so I'm going to have to try that.
It was egg-cellent.
Don't ever do that again. Done. No, I'm not even giving you props that.
That's probably like great.
Shake your head. If I had a rolled up newspaper, I'd bop you in the nose.
Grade 7. But yeah,
bad.
Gusto, if you're listening, give me more cheesecake. How about a Shamrock cheesecake? Also, Shamrock Shakes McDonald's. With some protein powder inside of them.
True, I heard this. Very delightful. Good. 5 days away from St. Paddy's Day, boys.
That's right. The mean green machine.
All you guys need to know is that it is going to be a gong show Saturday night.
At the Old Triangle.
All weekend. But yes, after that hockey game, because it's basically St. Paddy's Day weekend, Monday will be a national call-in sick day. Guaranteed. There will be Guinness aplenty, my friends. Guinness aplenty.
All right, any last thoughts before we hang up the skates or just get to overtime?
Is it wrong if I say I don't want home ice?
No, I don't. It's perfectly okay to say
I do now. I'm ready for it.
I only say this because
of the record and the fact that they play so well
on
the road.
Not just the record.
Oh, is from it your work schedule?
My personal standpoint as well here, folks. So my days off are friggin' awful, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So it would fit into games
3 and 4.
3 and 4 perfectly.
Right.
As they would likely fall. Yeah. Games 1 and 2 would be on a Friday, Saturday, and then you have
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
So from a personal standpoint, my attendance at hockey games in the playoffs comes down to the Moncton Wildcats not having home ice advantage. Therefore, tomorrow night, go Mooseheads.
And I know that, you know...
also, I love the Wildcats.
And I know that before we wrap this thing up, too, at the end, Adam, you've got a great segment coming on it. But we got to mention that Jeremy's wearing the T-shirt. So we'll do our own little conversation about it, and then you can play the tribute stuff later. You know, the QMJHL lost an absolute amazing human being. The St. John Sea Dogs organization, since their inaugural season from day one, David D.K. Kelly, their equipment manager, unfortunately lost his battle to cancer last week. That the funeral's in St. John tomorrow. I know we'll be airing this tomorrow, so it'll be today when you guys hear this. But if you can't, I know Adam's going to try to post the link for the live stream for it. But just to remember everything that DK's brought, not just to the QMJHL, to the St. John Sea Dogs organization, but to life in general. I've never met a kid with a more positive outlook on life. Everything to him was, you know, roses and butterflies, man, regardless of what he was up against. And he always, everything he stood for is what, if there was a third, if everybody in the world had a third or even a fifth of positivity and emotion that this guy had, the world would be a much better place. And, you know, we lost a good one, guys. We love you, Dominique and DK's family and everybody out there. So just know we're thinking about you. Rest in peace, buddy. Rest in power.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, this podcast is coming up on a year now, and he was my first guest, probably my sixth episode in, and it's a podcast about Moncton. He didn't have to say yes, and he's just, he had no issues doing it. All I wanted to do was discuss like his story, because I just heard about it when I got out of here. It's kind of around the Memorial Cup time, so just knowing that he was an equipment manager, what that transition was like going from winning a league to going to Memorial Cup. And he didn't know if this podcast was going to last 8 episodes or if it was going to make it a year. But he was humble enough to make time for me.
And he always would, man.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
It was one of the... I'm trying to find it so I can replay it. It was one of my favorite interviews. And so, like, everything I've heard from... And you'll hear it at the end of the show from Jamie Tozer, from Craig Eagles, Hockey Hat Guy, Pat McNeil, Mike Sanderson... just their memories of this guy. He was an unbelievable human. And like I've said many times, it was the same with Rebecca Schofield.
Very much.
They're leaving this world better than they found it. And that's all you can aspire to be as a human, is leave the world better than when you found it. And they both did that with the hashtag Becca told me to, and the Band-Aid, and hashtag forward is forward. So
absolutely, man.
Unlike Chris, and I mean, you've met him plenty of times, Adam, you've talked to him. I've never talked to the guy. I've never shook his hand. But I've said on Twitter many times, I've said, he's the strongest guy I've never met, right? Cause it's just how you hear all the stories about him and just his impact on, you know, on everybody and St. John, everybody around the queue, and you know, all the players that have come through the St. John organization, everything they say about him. I just wish I would have had the opportunity to meet him. But you know what, like you guys said, he's leaving the world a better place. So it's, you know, like I said, I wish I would have had a chance to shake his hand and say a few words to him, I'll take everybody's word for it, and just I know for a fact that he's, you know, one of the coolest dudes that you'll ever come across.
I just want to say something quick, because I know I sent it to you guys and I always had a good laugh, and it's one of my favorite things DK's ever tweeted out about me. We had a good chuckle about it. It was when he was in the hospital and he was paying for basic cable in his hotel room. And it just says, he's like, getting to watch Mr. C. Dobson and Mr. Craig Eagles on TV at $9.97 a day. He's like, you know you've made it when you're on pay-per-view. And I had a good chuckle about that. So anyways, DK, we'll be thinking about you forever, bud.
Welcome to Overtime.
All right, so let's get to Overtime. Jeremy, you brought this one up. Just what are some other podcasts you guys listen to?
So one that I've really got into, and it's sort of new. It's only been around for 2 months. But it's the Ron Burgundy podcast.
I've only heard a couple episodes. Loved it.
It's fantastic. I've almost pissed my pants. You know, this guy just makes me absolutely roar. He's so funny. He knows his character. He plays it so well. And these podcasts of his are just absolutely hilarious. There's one that I can't stand. I wish it would go. It would be dropped. And that Call Me Daddy podcast.
I don't even know what that is, man.
So it's two sounds girls. Like
the movie that old lady was talking about.
So it's two. I'm pretty sure it's two girls. I'm pretty sure they're affiliated with Barstool Sports.
Okay.
But basically, the intention of their podcast is to teach girls how to cheat on their men.
Beautiful.
With, wow. And not get caught.
Beautiful.
So they get people like send them questions every week and they answer them, and you know, they don't have great things to say about men either. It's just something that's I don't think it should be on the air. It's just pretty stupid and immature in my opinion.
Right.
Sounds that way.
Man, so I'm a huge podcast guy. It's all I listen to, whether I'm traveling or I'm driving, but my taste is all over the map. Like, I listen to WTF with Mark Maron. I'm a big Bill Burr Monday morning podcast guy. I listen to him, you know, the classics. I do listen to Jay and Dan's podcast, the Spit and Chicklets podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience. I listened to a garbage shitty podcast. What's it called? The Halifax Herdcast.
it's probably one of my least favorites.
Just kidding, boys.
Dude,
love
you
it.
Stole my answer.
Love it.
Get rid of
that. You know, that comes back to when we were talking about when the boys saying if you could pick any celebrity to go on a road trip with. Jordan said Chris Dobson, and then John goes, "You took my answer."
Yeah, that made me laugh.
Nah, I had a good chuckle with that. But no, honestly, boys, I love it. I love listening. It doesn't matter. I'd listen to sports talk radio or just general, like Bill Burr's Monday morning podcast to me. The reason I continue to listen to that is I love when he reads the sponsors. He reads the sponsors in the most sarcastic way possible. Like, for example, clearly they don't sponsor us, but the company MeUndies. That gives out, like, anyways, and he does, and he's reading. He's like, "So, yeah, you want some free underwear? You're doing it this, you're doing it that. MeUndies, MeUndies." He's like, "Why do I read this
sugar?"
He says, but they know that that's how he's going to read their ads, right? But anyways, I love stuff like that. The Joe Rogan Experience I mentioned before, clearly for the small things, like, you know, he gets deep down. I watched the one he did the other day with Macaulay Culkin. Absolutely fantastic. The Elon Musk one to me is one of my favorite ones he's ever done because Elon Musk is a personal hero of mine. And then of course everyone lost their mind because Elon Musk lit up a joint on a podcast and everyone freaked out. Anyways, yeah, no, man, I love it. As far as what podcast would I get rid of? I used to listen to a podcast called The Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. So basically, Alex Albrecht and, I don't remember Allison's last name, but it used to be like a tech podcast or like a very similar to actually Popturnative, very similar to what PD Beats does. Basically talks about, you know, they have questions, call on in, do everything like that. Everything from nerd stuff to sports stuff. Anyways, bottom line is Alex Albrecht has moved on. One of my favorite people in the world. He used to do a podcast with Kevin Rose on Dig Nation. Anyways, it's now called the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night. And they brought a bunch of ladies on. It's just not the same anymore. I don't like it as much. Allison Hayslip, that's her name. Anyway, so I could do without that one.
I don't listen to many podcasts. The only one I really listen to is Fantasy Footballers. A lot of their content is what's inspired this with the three of you guys. I listen to...
I'm just going to stop you for a second.
Yeah.
The three of us guys?
Three of us guys.
You said the three of you guys, though.
Oh, my bad.
I love picking on you, man. Relax. You get super down.
Yeah, I listen to theirs. It doesn't really help me because I'm not very good in fantasy football, but I like to listen to it. And then just as we get closer to the NFL draft time, I listen to, DJ's podcast. I can't remember what it's called right now. And some NFL stuff, but other than that, and I don't really have a podcast I want to get rid of. I was going to joke to get rid of the Herdcast, but, those guys are great. I guess the other two are the Herdcast
a stretch.
And Hockey Hat Guy. What's that?
I think great's a stretch.
Well, they're getting there.
They said that they were going to stay at your house if the Cats were playing the Moose in the playoffs. Yeah. Actually, Jordan said, "We got to be nice here. Adam's got a spot we can stay." And John goes, "I'm not staying there."
Yeah. So. We're not staying here. Well, Jordan, maybe. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really listen to any podcasts. I don't know which one I'd get rid of. Anything else? We only had that one.
What do you guys want to talk about? What you want to talk about? We got, 10 minutes?
Okay, so let's... All right, I'm trying to think here. Something fun. What's the greatest sporting event you've ever attended?
Cool. For me, it was Tampa Bay, Denver. Me and a couple buddies drove from Calgary to Denver because our one buddy was a Colts fan, so he got to see Peyton Manning. My other friend was a Broncos fan, and of course, I'm Tampa. We drove 19 hours.
Oh, wow.
Drove 19 hours to get there.
Wicked.
Went and saw the Denver Stadium tour. Went and saw Christian McCaffrey play high school finals on Saturday. Went to Columbine just to see it. And as we were walking up, we met what we think was a teacher or a volleyball coach, one of the two, and just said we're from Alberta, wanted a pair of respects. And he's like, "Oh, do you guys want to come in?"
No way.
Sure. Took us on a tour of the whole school. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. This is the hallway. First thing you noticed... No metal detectors. Didn't have them then, didn't have them now. They took the rifle because they were called, I can't remember what they called. They took the rifle out of the hand of the general, whatever.
Yeah.
Took us on the school, this was where the library was, and it was just, took us close to the gym, and there was just the memorabilia of everything that was signed by everybody. Just
no way.
And then, said, go out this hallway, and down across the baseball field, across the football field, you'll find the Columbine Memorial. Like, it's nowhere close to the school. And we were just talking it up, chatting it up. And as soon as we got to that, there was like, I think, 7-8 other people. And not a word was said for 40 minutes by anybody. Just reading everything. It was a crazy trip to go from that. And then, like I said, Saturday we saw Christian McCaffrey play in the high school finals. And then Sunday we had met these people that have season tickets in Denver. So they come from just outside of Kansas City to Denver every game. And it's like a 6-hour drive. They had a school bus that they converted into their bus. And they had taken Canadians the week before. So when we got there, got to the restaurant hotel, and we told the server why, and she's yelling at the guys who were in there. And we just started talking to them. They're like, "Do you want to do the tailgate with us?" We're like, "Hell yeah, we do." So we got up 8 a.m. All we had to bring was our own beer. They had all the food, everything. And we did the whole tailgating thing from 9 a.m. till the 2 p.m. game. And it was, I mean, three dudes watching football, and they started singing the anthem, and we're balling because it's our first NFL game and our teams. And Denver fans were pretty good to me. They tried to heckle me, but I just said, you know, I drove 19 hours to see this football game. And, oh, that's awesome. I met Gerald McCoy. I met Josh Freeman at the time. Got their autographs. So all that's probably my favorite sporting event.
I have to go to the got to be the week-long festivities at the 2012 Memorial Cup in Schwinnigan.
Where you're famous.
Yeah. It was definitely famous. Made the Schwinnigan newspaper. Went there actually as an Edmonton Oil Kings fan, because they were there for the from the Western Conference, and ended up with ended up cheering for Schwinnigan, basically being an adopted son. Just 10 days of complete and utter drunkenness. Probably ate at least 2 poutines a day. Just the way the tournament ended too. Like, you had St. John, who had won the President's Cup, so they were there. And just the ring at Schwinnigan was electric. It only fits like 3,500 people. So when Schwinnigan was up against St. John in the semifinals, the place was just going bonkers. And then for Schwinnigan to actually beat St. John in the semifinals, man, that place was just
crazy.
I remember that specific game, the semifinals. Myself and Dave, we dressed up in scuba diving gear, because earlier in the tournament, now Vegas Golden Knights head coach Gerard Gallant, you know, was complaining about the refereeing. He was like, and all that. So, you know, Dave and I brought signs, saying like, drowning in Gerard's tears. So we had like, you know, scuba like goggles on, and we had the little flip flops and stuff, and the little thing that sticks out of your mouth so you can breathe when you're underwater. Had a sign that said drowning in Gerard's tears.
It's so amazing.
That's awesome.
So, and then just after the game, you know, all the TV networks were recording, and, you know, you just have me like, just, I found the camera, and you don't hear me say anything, but I'm literally just stumbling back and forth because I'm just so inebriated. And then like 2 nights later, the final against the London Knights, and then Schwinnigan scoring in overtime.
I remember watching that.
Just, one. I've never seen a crowd so electric, and just the whole story about Schwinnigan. I think they got out in the first round of the playoffs this year, so they were off for 45 something days, and then from for them to win the Memorial Cup, just ridiculous. And then probably that was the coolest experience I've ever had in my life in terms of sports.
How did they convert you from Oil Kings to Schwinnigan?
Oh, just...
You just got there and were like, no, never mind.
Well, we were there because, you know, we went to cheer on Brandon Gormley because he got traded from, you know, from Moncton to Schwinnigan.
On paper, great trade.
Yeah.
In the end, terrible trade.
Yeah. so we were,
was
you know...
Was Sylvester on that team too?
No, this is long before his time.
Before that. This was 2010? No, 12.
2012.
Okay. I thought maybe he was a rookie, but no.
So just... I went for the first game was Edmonton against Shawinigan, and the Oil Kings beat the Oil Kings beat Shawinigan. So I kind of stuck with the Oil Kings, and then I think for the London against St. John game, I went to the gift shop and bought a London Knights T-shirt. So I was kind of flipping back and forth between teams, but I think by at least the tiebreaker, I was on board with Shawinigan. Like it was the tiebreaker was Edmonton against Shawinigan. Shawinigan won. Then they moved on to the semifinals against St. John, beat St. John, went to the finals against London, beat London in overtime. Just ridiculous. Funnest week of my entire life. Met a lot of people. I can't even compare it. I don't think if I were to go to Halifax for 10 days in May, I don't think it would compare it to what Shawinigan was like.
That's awesome. For me, I've told this story before on the podcast, but single-handedly, let's go back to January 3rd, 2009, Scotiabank Place at the time. Jordan Eberle scores with 5.4 seconds left to lift Team Canada over Team Russia in a shootout. They win that game 6-5 in a shootout. That entire sequence. So we had gone up, me and the boys had driven up. We'd gotten there that morning. We didn't go for the whole tournament. We bought tickets to go to that game and the gold medal game, hoping in advance we knew that Canada was going to make it to the gold medal. So we went up to see that game. And when we got there, our tickets were in the lower bowl. But there was a guy out front. He wasn't a scalper. It was just a guy. He was a guy in a suit. Really cool guy. He had a Team Canada pin on. We never met him. We were all dressed up in our Team Canada garb. And I had one of those cardboard Jofa helmets on. I looked special. It was pretty awesome. And then anyway, so we worked out a deal with him. And he's like, oh, you guys are here. He's like, where are you from? We said, New Brunswick. He's like, oh, my goodness. So he brought us right down on the glass. It was insane, man. You talked about goosebumps. I get goosebumps. And then, of course, you know, the gold medal game the next day.
Behind the glass where? Like behind Russia's net? Or?
Yeah, behind Russia's net for 1-3. And then so... And then, of course, they will go on and they beat Sweden. I think it was 5-1 in the gold medal game or something like that the next game. But if you look at that roster, I mean, Jordan Eberle scores that goal. The place just goes nuts. Everyone thought it. I saw an article, like a quote, Patrice Cormier at the time back then. He had said, a fellow Capilé native here, was playing for Team Canada. I think he was the captain that year, actually.
No, that Tavares was captain.
No, it might have been John Tavares. I know that Patrice made a captain the year after that. Yeah. He was quoted in saying, like, we all thought the game was done. Russia iced the puck, which gave them a chance to get that face-off down there. John Tavares wins the draw, I believe. And anyways, the rest is history. Yeah. And you see it all over TSN every time there's a chance. It's, man, goosebumps. Just electric.
Doesn't happen if Ryan Ellis doesn't keep that puck into the blue line.
Fact.
Yeah.
Fact.
I think he jumped, like, a foot in the air.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Man, yeah. Kid's got ups.
Yeah.
And I think Subban just whacked it to the net, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. And guess who was the Russian laying on the puck in front of the night? Dmitry Kulikov.
On his knees.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for us. We're going to have memories here at DK again, like I said, from Jamie Tozer of Station Nation in St. John, Craig Eagles, Hockey Hat Guy, Pat McNeil of the Screaming Eagles, Michael Sanderson, who does the Sea Dogs games online.
Supportive he was of other people, and I know this is something that's been talked about a lot over the past couple weeks about DK, and rightfully so. You know, this is a guy who had so much on his plate at different times and really went out of his way to help other people and doing stuff that certainly wasn't part of his job description, but just did it because he was a nice guy. And I was thinking about some of the things he's done for me and done for the blog over the past few years, and I think I look back on some of the Sea Dogs games that have been canceled due to weather or other events over the past couple of years. And I think DK was probably the first person who ever let us know about when games were canceled or when certain events had times changed, stuff like that. I definitely know there were a few times where I think we were some of the first people he would let know that a game was postponed or stuff like that. Certainly not something he had to do, and it was certainly a small thing, but you know, it made a big difference for us in terms of planning and logistics and stuff like that. So I've heard lots of other examples of DK just doing small things like that, just because he was, that's how he was as a person. Certainly went out of his way to help and support other people, and that's what I'm going to remember most about DK.
I think my fondest memory of DK is just his openness to share and his willingness to make you feel wanted and part of the team. And I think it didn't really matter how long you knew DK. He was always, you know, that friendship was deep. And the connection that he made with people was inspirational. I think he started a movement, and that movement changed and will continue to change our lives. I really miss DK, and I'm going to miss our friendship.
Hi, everybody. This is your old buddy, Hockey Hat Guy, and I'm here to talk about DK for a minute. He's definitely one of those guys that, when, at least when I met him, it was when the Monkey Band-Aid and Team DK thing was really taking off, and I was quite amazed how humble he was, and through everything that was going on, between meeting Ron McLean, Don Cherry, Tara Sloan, to the support he was getting from everybody, people that he had met from all over the world, it was great. And the one thing about DK that was so enjoyable was that he was just so kind and encouraging and inspirational. And that was one thing that I think he was also very amazed at, how people were taking to the situation of the Monkey Band-Aid products, the shirts, the hats, and everything, and how many people were, myself included, supporting him. So, rest in peace, DK, and to your family. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your life during all these hard times, I'll be thinking about you, definitely, me and my wife, on Wednesday.
When it comes to David Kelly, when it comes to DK, I don't know if there's one memory that sticks out for me. Just, you know, everything in the total complete package that DK was, just so overwhelmingly positive, so overwhelmingly supportive of everyone and everything, even during his battle, you know, when someone could really seclude themselves, when someone could really say, well, I'm suffering right now, you know, my suffering is my priority. But really what DK did was you know, bring that positivity that he was bringing to his own battle, really to everybody, and such an overwhelmingly positive figure, such a strong character that was David Kelly. And I don't know if you can pinpoint to just one situation or one memory specifically in David Kelly's life or in DK's life. Certainly a huge loss to the St. John Sea Ducks community, not just that, but the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League community, and you know, the hockey community as a whole. Just someone who was so positive and someone who was so inspiring in watching just on the periphery of how, you know, he was dealing with his battle and how everything was positive and how everything was moving forward, and the Monkey Band-Aids and, you know, everything that came with it. And DK really relished in being that positive influence, and it, in some ways, it comes from his job, because with the St. John Sea Dogs, he was that equipment manager. And you know, when you are that, you have to be the supportive person in the dressing room. You have to be the closest and keep the team tight in such a tight-knit environment, because for a lot of the kids as young as 16, this is their first time away from home, or this is their first situation where they're away from their support group, and they really do need that family element. And David Kelly can bring that, be that good cop in the dressing room, be that supportive influence. And that's kind of what he brought to all of us during his long battle with cancer. And, you know, just such an inspiring person. And, you know, I don't know if there's just one memory that you can really pinpoint for David Kelly. Just all of it as a complete package was phenomenal. Just to follow his tweets, to follow his social media, to see what he was doing and how he was dealing with it. I do remember a defenseman for the St. John Sea Dogs during their last President's Cup run, it was announced that he was suffering from cancer, and the fact that David Kelly was connected with the team, and the fact that David Kelly could take him under his wing in a way, you know, definitely helped him in that situation as well, that being Oliver Felix. And so I don't know if you can just pinpoint one moment, because there's just too many. And, you know, David Kelly was just so inspiring and so positive, and all of us can take, you know, what he was bringing in our own lives and make that a positive situation, a positive element. And that's, I guess, what I'll remember most about his situation. But we all hope that he rests in peace, and we're all a little bit better in this world for having David Kelly in it.
Well, certainly a sad week in the queue last week, and obviously the passing of David Kelly, or DK as everybody knew him by, was a big part of that. And it's hard to really say anything that hasn't already been said, because so many tributes have come in from all the people that he touched, be it other members of the hockey community, or I'm sure people that were fighting the disease of cancer in general. I didn't have as much interaction with DK as I would have liked, to be honest. The first time I can remember talking to him was he complimented one of my calls on Twitter, which is not surprising. Always a very positive guy, and he was always very friendly anytime I had the chance to run into him in the arena. And being around the game, if you work in play-by-play or any job where you're in the rink every day on game day, you get an appreciation for how hard an equipment manager works. And I remember asking Danny Flynn, who was coach of St. John at the time, about DK, and he said, this is an NHL equipment manager. He's working in the queue, but he's NHL caliber. And that's a hard job. There's a lot of work that goes into that. And to do that, fighting what DK was doing, I don't know if you can really state how impressive that is. And Danny had also said he thought that DK was the face of the franchise, and I don't think you can really disagree with that. You say St. John Sea Dogs, and he's probably the first thing you think of. He was somebody who was passionate in everything he did, be it his actual job as an equipment manager, what he did in his dying days, really spreading the message and starting as many campaigns as he could, or even being a passionate sports fan with his cheering of the Boston Red Sox. Even his philanthropic efforts, you look at him trying to raise money, and it might seem like kind of a common sense thing that you'd want people to be aware of the disease that you're dying from, but that takes a lot of time and effort, and you're also constantly reminding yourself of your own mortality. But DK did that because that's what he was all about. As I said, I can only imagine the toll that took on him, but he soldiered through right until the last minute, and that Band-Aid will be iconic and will always be associated with him. So obviously sad to lose someone as great as DK at just age 40, but he certainly lived every second until the last minute of his life, and he'll certainly be missed by everybody in the hockey community, especially here in the Maritimes.
Again, guys, thanks for listening. If you want to follow the show on social medias, you can just search Moncton Wildcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We will see you guys next week for a playoff edition of the Moncton Wildcast.
The city is illimitoire.